How's everyone doing today? Sorry about listening to my irritating voice. Got a little head cold, so I'm kind of impersonating Patrick Mahomes in my voice here. So if it cracks a little bit, I'm just going to go with that's why I'm doing it. But if you guys remember a couple weeks ago, I was talking about when we were playing the Houston Texans that as a Chiefs fan, I'm kind of bitter because I assumed that we were going to lose the game. And of course, you know, that first half of the Texans, I'm like, oh, I don't believe in jinxes, but I'm like, I think I did jinx the game. But then when I'm thinking about the Super Bowl, you guys remember when Patrick Mahomes in the very beginning, he got a little jittery and he was throwing the ball and it was like hitting the ground and it looked horrible. And then it got worse because in the second half, he like threw it to the other team, which you're not supposed to do, right? You know, and like the guy wasn't even open. And then like we're about ready to get back into it. And what does he do? Throws behind Tyreek Hill, interception. I'm like, all right, Chiefs lost. It's 49ers. It's the Chiefs. Go ahead. At least we lose. That's what we do well. And then, you know, we're coming back. We're really close. He throws to Tyreek Hill. It goes through his hands. You remember the face they showed Tyreek made? It's like that. It was like we all felt that as Chiefs fans. And then all of a sudden, you're watching the broadcast, and I think he's probably trying to make up for all the Madison Bumgarner quotes. The telecast goes, time for Mahomes magic. Patrick goes over to the sideline. I'm just happy I have hair. So he goes over to his coach. Oh, I've got to stay in the camera. Sorry, Brantley. He goes over to his coach, and what does he say? Do we have time to run the wasp? And he goes back. He throws the pass. Defender's going down him. It's like gorgeous. Throws it. Catches it. And now as Chiefs fans, we no longer have to worry about or to hear about the Patriots winning the Super Bowl. We actually got to win it, right? Those who have ears, let us listen.
So, as we get ready to take leave from this place, I hope you guys enjoyed the message. And just like Patrick, we don't want to throw interceptions in our lives either. So, as we get ready to take leave from this place, just join in with us and remember that every time you drop back, somebody's always coming after you, something's always at you, but you have to be elusive, avoid the pressure, and get rid of the ball so that you can get to your goal. Amen? Amen. Any questions? God bless you.
All right, so imagine, okay, what are you guys feeling right now? I love the Confused, right? Like, that's not normal, right? Like, that's, like, one, my intro, and, like, one world, and then Don sold it. Don had, like, a minute prep, so good job, Don. Now you guys know what the crowd must have felt like when Jesus did this. He said, on that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down. While the whole crowd stood on the shore, then he told them many things in parables or little stories. And he said, consider the sower who went out to sow or plant seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and the birds came and devoured them. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil. And it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Well, I did something I was not supposed to. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still, other seed fell on good ground and produced fruit. Some 100, some 60, some 30, that was sown. Let anyone who has ears listen. And then Don would have came up and talked about, all right, guys, don't be like the seed that's on the path. Don't be like the seed that's on the rocks. Don't be like the seeds and the thorns. Be like the seed that's on the good soil. And he would have sat down. So now you understand why the disciples come up to him and they go, why are you speaking in parables? In the other gospels, it says, please explain what you just did. Okay? So in context, up until this point, Jesus has never told parables. He has been very clear. In fact, after he would preach, the listeners would go, oh, he speaks with authority. Because in those days, the Bible speakers, the teachers, they wouldn't teach the Bible. What they would do is the teacher would come up, and then they would tell you what their favorite rabbi would teach. Or they would tell you the tradition. And so they had no absolute authority. It was, well, this rabbi had this view and this rabbi had this view. Then all of a sudden Jesus shows up and he goes, oh, this is how you do it. Oh, you've been told you do it this way, but that's not what God wants. And so the listeners would go, he speaks with authority. Or his other sermons, he would just say, stop it, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And they would follow him. And so now all of a sudden, the religious leaders don't like what Jesus is doing because he's starting to mess with their rules that they made up. He started doing things like healing sick people on the Sabbath. Ooh, that's controversial, right? That's what wanted them to kill him, because he started healing and casting out demons while they were at church, because they didn't like them messing with their rules. And so they finally said, well, the only reason why Jesus can cast out demons is that he is a demon. So then at that point, he starts talking in parables. And he starts telling stories. And the crowd would have had no idea what he was talking about. They would have felt just like you did when I did my story of Patrick Mahomes, and Don did a phenomenal job of applying it to your lives and avoiding defenders in your life. It made no sense. So the disciples asked him, why? What do you mean? Verse 11, he answered, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. Now, who is the you and who is the them in this passage? Well, who are the them? The crowd. And what did the crowd do? Heard the story and did what? Went home. They didn't ask. They were probably just confused, or they were like, that was a cool story about farming. Okay. Who are the you in this story? The disciples. And what did they do? They at least had the humility, or maybe the bravery to say, what were you talking about? Okay. So he says, because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given to him, and he will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. That is why I speak to them in parables. Because looking, they do not see, and hearing, they do not listen or understand. So basically what Jesus just said was that I reveal my secrets to who I want to. Okay? Because he said, I'm concealing it from them. And I don't know about you, but how does it make you feel to hear the Jesus of the Bible say, those who have nothing, even what they do have, will be taken from them? How does that make you feel? Any? Sad for them. Who else? Go ahead. What's that? Confused? Like, this is the Jesus who says, let the little children come to me. Like, he's the Jesus that's on the cross that says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And yet, right here, he's saying, those who have not, even what they do have, is going to be taken from them. Literally, in this statement, he is saying, I intentionally hide the secrets of the kingdom from some people. Does that not feel weird? Like, that doesn't seem like the Bible, that the Jesus we know, right? All right, am I the only one, or is it like, or we like it? Like, yay, Jesus reveals to those he likes. Like, it's easy if you're a follower to be like, yeah, that's awesome. But those of us who aren't followers, or we have loved ones who aren't followers, to be like, so Jesus just said that he plays favorites, that he reveals what he wants to some and he conceals what he wants to others. That doesn't seem right. Now, we've been talking about that Jesus is a rabbi. And this is really important. A rabbi gets to pick his students, his disciples. Okay? So Jesus gets to pick the disciples, who he's going to pour into, because it's a relationship. I don't know about you, but as a rabbi, the disciples would come and live with you for 3 years. I'm not just letting anyone I don't know or trust live with me for 3 years. Like that, we kind of have to have some kind of a relationship, right? So for us to call him rabbi, which he is, means he picks his disciples. Now, before you tune out and I see all your faces like, this is weird. What are we talking about? Is this a cult? No. But you do have to realize, and we understand this, because I don't know about you, but when church is over, Mike doesn't go and feed my kids. Why? Not his kids. I mean, probably would if I asked him. But I don't take care of his kids because they're his kids. And we have these dynamics and relationships where in a relationship, there are intimacy, there is benefits. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, the benefit of being my disciple is that I'm going to reveal the secrets to the kingdom to you. But if you're not my disciple and you do not follow me, you're going to be on the outside looking in. And before we dig into that and explain that more, that is why as followers of Jesus, we need to be careful how we interact with people who may not see things the way we see them, because those secrets have not been revealed to them yet. And so it's like trying to describe a beautiful picture to someone who does not see. They're not going to understand. So you can use all your breath and waste. They may not understand it. So you got to kind of do it a different way. That's why we talked about shining the light on their feet, not on their face, because they're not going to understand. Now, listen to Jesus as he describes this. He says, Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them. Who are the them? The crowd. And what did the crowd do? Walked away. They didn't ask. Maybe they didn't care. Maybe they were too shy. Maybe they were just hungry. Maybe they had to hurry up and get there and hurry up and leave like my family. But they left. He says, Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them, which says, you will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. Okay, that's what Jesus already said that, but verse 15. For this people's heart, who are this people's? It's the Jews, but in this context, it's the crowd. And what did the crowd do? Walked away, which is the opposite of following. Okay? So for this people's heart has grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes. Otherwise, they may see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn back, and I would heal them. Now we, okay, good, because at first it kind of sounded weird, like Jesus didn't like some people. But what Jesus just said is that, you know what, there comes a time when someone decides to shut their own eyes, close their own ears, harden up their heart, and they're just not going to listen. And you know what Jesus says is, he goes, for those, I can't reveal the kingdom to them because they don't want it. He goes, but to those who come to me and they listen, I'm going to reveal the secrets of the kingdom to them. Verse 16, blessed are your eyes because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see the things you see, but didn't see them, to hear the things you hear and didn't hear them. Have you ever been in a sermon and you hear the person and God's word is just like clicking, like maybe just something happened and it's just talking to you. And you go home and you talk to your friend or your spouse and you're like, man, God was like speaking to me. And your spouse is like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And it may, like, or you'll be reading a passage or reading a story and like you're just, man, you're just excited. And you're just like, man, why aren't people getting this? Because the passage says this, that when God sows the word, that's not just the gospel, it's the message of God. There are two things that have to happen. You have to hear it, and you have to receive it. Now, there's a couple things that we need to understand as followers of Jesus. If people only get Jesus when they're his disciple, right? Like, they're only going to have the kingdom if they decide to follow Jesus. Okay? It's not an exclusive club. Jesus says, I've come for everyone. Anyone who calls on the name will be saved. However, they got a call. The Bible is really clear. They can't call if no one goes and tells them. So as followers of Jesus, we kind of, it goes on us. If we're not telling anyone the gospel and no one's getting saved and no one's following Jesus, who's kind of to blame? The one who's not talking. Now, we talk about this as the follower, disciple, apostle. It's not just the gospel. Are you teaching people lessons in your life? As God is sharing with you and shaping your life and creating different stories through his word, are you sharing those with other people? Or are you just mocking them as they're walking in darkness and going, I don't know why they're doing that. Well, did you tell them lovingly? Or did you just shine light in their face? Or did you just too busy living for yourself? And not mean, but just, I got five kids. Living for myself is not living for myself. It's taking care of five kids and a wife and mortgage and bills. And I know all of you, life is busy, right? But there are times, that's why we come to church, to remind ourselves that Jesus does choose. Not everyone is God's child, because you've got to be born again, right? They've got to enter that relationship with God. And if we don't tell them, they can't accept it. But here's the second part. It's on them or us, anytime we hear the word of God, are we receiving it? Are we welcoming it? Because here's the thing. Following Jesus is a heart issue. You either have a hard heart or you have a soft heart. And it's up to you. Because here's the thing. Life is hard, right? Like, we go through things. And as you go through life, you're either going to let it tenderize you and soften your heart, or you let it callous your heart and get hard. And it's really up to you what happens. Let's go back to that message. Jesus says that they threw the seed, and the path is where the planters would walk. And so the seed, you know, as they're throwing it, the seed's not going to go do anything on the path. And he says, those are people who hear the word, and they do not understand it, either because we didn't explain it or we didn't build that relationship with them yet. And Satan comes, takes it away, nothing happens. Okay? And really, if that happens, that's on us, because we didn't work with the soil. We didn't prepare it. We didn't see how we were built or planting that seed. And then secondly, he says that the seed fell on rocky soil, which means as it was growing, there was no roots. And when persecution and hard times happened, it withers and there is no fruit. There is no growth. The seekers of the kingdom can only go so deep. And then the third soil is those that it's planted where the thorns are. And the thorns, he says, are like the cares of this world. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. It just means you're living life and you're looking around and you're going, man, how am I going to pay for this? Or, man, what's going to happen with this sickness? Or, man, what's going to happen here? Or what's going to happen in our country? What's going to, and we, oh, we just, we're going to have one with my kids and all these things. And guess what happens? It chokes the word. But then he says, those that go on the good soil, and for my gardeners here, what do you got to do to make good soil? Is it just good soil? It's just their good soil. It's better than other people. They get it. They're God's favorite. No, no, no. You have to do what? You got to break it up. You got to pull the weeds. You got to remove the rocks. It's a lot of work. So as a church, if we are sharing the gospel, guess what you're doing? We are working the soil as well. You need to make sure that you're building those relationships with people. You need to see, okay, right now, they're going to be choked out, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to walk with them. So when they start getting choked out, I'm going to love on them. Now, I can point out the thing that's choking on them, but I need to do it lovingly. So, if we want to have fruit in our life, we have to hear it, and we have to receive it. There comes a lot of humility with that. Because to receive the message, that means you are realizing you are not your own God. You don't have all the answers. So, we can go, man, why does Jesus do this? Why does he do it to where he would tell parables? And I want you to listen to this passage. This was prophesied 500 years earlier. It says this, I will remove, that's God, their heart of stone from their bodies, and I will give them a heart of flesh, so that they will follow my statutes, keep my ordinances, and practice them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. But as for those whose hearts pursue their desire for abhorrent acts and detestable practices, I will bring their conduct down on their own heads. So literally what God is saying is those who come to God and humble themselves, he will take out their heart of stone, put in a soft heart so you can hear the message. But if you just want to love your own stuff and do what you want to do, he's not going to make you follow him. Have you ever heard people, they'll ask the question, how could a loving God send someone to hell? And I say this in the nicest way because hell's eternity is a long time. And I don't say this in a mean, wicked way. God is a gentleman. The reason why God allows people to go to hell is that he's respecting their choice. He can't make them, or he can, but he wants a relationship. He's not going to make them follow him. He's going to respect your choice. And here's the thing. We all know this in life. Our choices have consequences. And Jesus is going, listen, I love you. I died on the cross for you. I send my people to love on you and to share the message. It is up to you to receive it. And if you do, you're going to enter my kingdom and it is going to be amazing. But if you want to reject me, I love you enough to respect your choice. Because here's the thing at the end of the day. God wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want a robot. And this is more than just going to heaven and going to hell. This is every day walking out your faith. God could make you obey him, right? Because when I read the Bible in Genesis 1, he speaks to nothing and light happens. That doesn't happen, all right? He speaks to the world and it exists. He goes to clay and he breathes into it and it becomes a man. He gets a rib and he makes a woman. Like, we don't do that. So God has enough power to do whatever he wants. But here's God's heart. He wants a relationship with you. So that is why when we are making those choices outside of his light and they start to hurt, it's not God being mean. It's God saying, I warned you, I love you, I want you back. And at the end of the day, that is what God wants, is he wants a relationship with you. But you have to ask yourself, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to dig in? And are you going to let him work that soil? Or are you going to be like Patrick Mahomes and throw the ball on the ground? Right? Nah, I just wanted to work that in. It's up to you. God does play favorites. For anyone who calls on his name, you can be his. But are you calling on his name? Let's pray. God, there is something about the name of Jesus. The demons shudder. The knees will bow. And I pray, Lord, those under my voice today, that they would hear your message. That you love them, that you died for them, that you want to bless them. But they've got to follow. They cannot be blessed and have it their way. And I pray, Lord, that you would use your people Monday through Saturday. Use me as we work with the world, as we interact with our friends, as we interact with people around us. May they see your light, not ours, so they could become one of your disciples. In your son's name, amen.